This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health in Difference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
Welcome to this final session for the day in the Ageing and Aged Care stream. We're going to start by going all the way to Palm Springs, which is pretty exciting, with Marshall Friedman, who is a coordinator of psychotherapy services for the outpatient mental health program at the University of California's Alliance Health Project, formerly the AIDS Health Project in San Francisco. Marshall focuses on the mental health needs of gay and bi men over the age of 50 by providing direct counselling services, facilitating a support group, conducting training for health professionals, and participating in a variety of committees focusing on program development for this population. Could you please welcome Marshall? All the way from California, thank you.
Good afternoon. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, custodians and traditional owners of the land on which this gathering is held, and to acknowledge their elders past and present. Welcome to Aging in the Stonewall Generation, or do I have to move to Palm Springs to find community? For those of you not from the United States, Palm Springs is kind of when you get old and gray, it's where you go. This is an overview, and today I'm very honored to be a part of this presentation. And what I want to discuss is the particular mental health needs. Am I good? No, I'm sorry, microphone? My big mouth isn't loud enough, is that better? Okay, all right. So, wonderful, slow down, breathe. We could just blame this all on jet lag. Here we go. So what I would like to do is to focus on the particular mental health needs of a subset that I'm dubbing the Stonewall Generation, and to look at those particular needs, to identify the Stonewall Generation, to look at some of the psychosocial issues affecting that generation, to present a brief history of some of the developmental issues that I think are important to know, and to look at some of the current psychosocial issues, and then to briefly talk about a group that I facilitate. It's a 14-week closed group for men of this generation. So the first thing is that we have to push this, and it goes to the next slide. It doesn't go to the next slide. Ah! Okay. Left, not right. Oh, if you do it that way, you do it better. Okay. One of the things that we know is that who are the Stonewall Generation? The Stonewall Generation are those born between 1940 and 1956, roughly, who came out after Stonewall and before AIDS. Okay? One of the things that really is important is this is a group that self-defined what it means to be gay. Gay is good, gay is proud, gay is family, gay is community. Gay is not sick. That previously, when you look at the generation before, which begins with the Kinsey study in 1948 of sexual behavior in the American male, and in 1953, sexual behavior of the American female, the model that was taken on is one that to be gay in the States is to be part of an ethnic minority. And the second was in about 1953, because Mattachine, Daughters of Bilitis, Mattachine was founded by communists. In 1953, communists were not a good thing to run an organization, so let's have conservatives run it. And what we developed was a sickness model. We are gay. Please, mommy, love us, even though we have a limp. Stonewall changes that. Stonewall says we are not sick, and we will define who we are, not experts. In the 70s, and some of the things I want to talk about, is that there's really a definition. And it comes down to two pieces. One is gay liberation. We're like them, except for what we do in bed. Gay assimilation, we're just like them, except for what we do in bed. Okay? And there's an incredible tension. What also happens in the 70s is we begin to have gay identity and it becomes a place identity. So in San Francisco, we have the Castro. In Australia, you have Oxford Street in Sydney. We have, in the States, we had what we called, we know the pink triangle, we had the gay triangle. New York is where you went if you were gay and you were ambitious and you were smart. Los Angeles is where you went if you were ambitious, not so smart. San Francisco is where you went, not ambitious, not smart. In reviewing my history, I graduated with a degree in social work from Columbia. I was in New York. I took a job in Los Angeles. I've ended up in San Francisco. In the 80s, HIV and AIDS comes in, and I think that this is a really important part because what we did as LGBTQ is to change the face of healthcare. We developed organizations and strategies to address HIV and AIDS before the government and before the medical establishment, and we radically changed community. In the 70s, we defined who we were, and there was a point where we pulled apart, and then we came back together. It's important to also understand that this is a point of great devastation for the men of the Stonewall generation. It has been estimated that up to 80% of the men who came out in the 70s and lived through the 80s are already dead. Okay? So one of the things that happens in my group is when people occasionally have met each other, one of the things that we want to be aware of is that when you're losing 80% of your peer group, you're usually 75 or 80 plus. You're not 35 plus. And that's a significant thing. When you're having 2 in 3 friends die a week, you can't mourn. It just kind of goes somewhere. And where is it showing up? It's showing up now. In the 90s, we moved from devastation to hope. The early 90s, no new treatment, loss of hope. Survivor's guilt becomes survivor's despair. Survivor's guilt is about, I did what my friends did, and they are gone, and I'm here. Survivor's despair is, and now what do I do? And we're seeing this show up now as men age and say, what's the next step? Because in the 80s and 90s, Vito Russo, who I referenced, said in the 70s, he said, we taught the world how to love. In the 80s, we taught the world how to die. In the millennium, we're teaching the world how to age. Millennium approaches, AIDS moves from crisis to chronic. And we spoke about that in the last presentation. Issues of aging emerge that affect both HIV positive and negative men. And I think that that's a very important thing. That when we think about HIV and aging, we think about it in the context of those people that are positive. There are lots of people that are HIV negative, okay? And what are the kinds of things that we're seeing? The psychosocial issues. The primary issue that I'm seeing is this one, isolation. Okay? So one of the things, if you run into someone you haven't seen in 30 or 40 years, maybe you went to your high school reunion, God knows why, a normal response to that would be, what's a response to someone you haven't seen in 20 or 30 years? What would you say? What? Haven't changed a bit. What else? What have you been doing? Right? What else? Do you have children? Right. How about, what? Are you married? Right? How many people would say, you're still alive? That's the thing people say. Two gay men run into each other and they say, you're still alive. Okay? That's not a normal thing. Okay? A normal part, and this ties into the second, which is psychosocial PTSD-like symptoms related to the loss of friends in the 80s and 90s before HIV medication. One of the things that people are dealing with is as they're aging and other illnesses are taking over, we know that gay men have a higher rate of diabetes and hypertension. Okay? It's also been shown that the LGBT community uses mental health services more. I don't think we have a higher rate of mental illness. I think we have a higher rate of comfort in accessing mental health care. And I think that's something that I want us to consider. I think that's really important because it's a way to pathologize us. Back in the 50s, they determined that LGBT folks had a much higher rate of mental health problems. Do you know where they got their people from? Psychotherapy offices. They also determined that LGBT people had a much higher rate of alcoholism. Do you know where they did their surveys? Gay bars. Not even AA meetings. They were going to gay bars because that's where you could find gay people, and guess what? They drank more. So I want to caution some of this. Issues of coming, one of the things that is normal as we age is people leave our life. If 80% of them are already gone, who are the people that are going to come into your life? Intimate relationships of dating is a big change. How do you rebuild? It's estimated, this is a significant difference, depending on which study, and there have been very, very, very few. But the studies show that the average heterosexual man, 13% to 25% of heterosexual men live alone. Of gay men, the studies show 50% to 75% live alone. Okay? And their companion is a cat or a dog. So when a client starts talking to you about the sick dog, start asking about suicide. Because if you ask them why I'm alive, they'll tell you, I can't, what will happen to my cat? Okay? They'll also tell you, I can't go into hospital because who will take care of my cat? Okay? And sometimes we're thinking, it's a cat! Okay, I will share my story. I adopted a cat on New Year's Eve last year. And I wrote on my Facebook page, I have a New Year's date. The next morning I wrote on my Facebook page, he stayed over. 3 hours later I said, I've been alone for a long time, he's moving in. My best friend from the Midwest called me and said, why? I said, I'm lonely. She said, how old? I'm doing count. I said, he's 42. She said, does he have a job? I said, nope. She said, what was he doing? I said, homeless. She said, why is he there? I said, gorgeous. I said, you're on your landline, I'm on mine, so I'll take a picture of my cell and I'll send it to you. And I hear her yelling at her husband, it's a goddamn cat. Okay? Intimacy in relationships and dating. One of the things that resurfaces is if your partner died and you begin an intimate relationship, what marks the relationship that you had? Okay? Relationships with family of origin. Very few men of this generation were completely estranged from their families. Okay? But they were kind of tolerated rather than accepted. And an important component of that is now that they're aging, how are they connecting to their family? There are increased health concerns, which I've already talked about. And one of the other changes is traditional gay neighborhoods and our places are changing. So the gay community is moving from physical to virtual. Okay? The Castro is where you go to kind of take the Disneyland tour of San Francisco. Okay? And those of you that read the ban, we no longer have public nudity in the Castro because it could upset the couples from the Midwest who took the bus tour. Okay? We still have it for the Dory Alley Fair if you're interested in coming. Okay? A feeling of being invisible. And in fact, one of the things that we've talked about a lot of, as people go into aged care, but in the last plenary somebody said, most of us will not go into aged care. That 95% of us will live at home until the end. As we age, we become invisible. Okay? On the tram the other day, a woman I got on, and for the first time it happened, she looked right at me, she got up, and she pointed to her seat. I wasn't quite ready for that, but I like the discounts at the movies. An important thing is, who shares our personal history? As we age, sharing our personal history becomes incredibly important. Who shares our personal history? If 80% of your friends have died, who's the next group that shares your personal history? As you age, who wants to hear your stories? No, not your kids. You really want to hear your parents' stories? Grandchildren. If you were a gay guy who didn't have kids, you forgot to have grandchildren. Who's going to listen to your stories? Who's going to know that what you did was significant? Okay? And how does that play out as you take to the next step of aging? Okay? Sharing finances, and one of the things we're dealing with, and this is going to be hitting, is a tsunami of finances, in that if you have a private disability policy, and I don't know if it works that way in Australia, at 65 it goes away. And so many of our clients have relied on Social Security and a private disability policy, and 40% of their income is going to go away very soon. Okay? One of the things that's also important is, as we provide, how do we address our generational differences? How do we define aging, and what are our biases about aging? How do we help our clients integrate aging into their lives? What are our concerns about illness, aging, and death? These are the kinds of the group. Very briefly, we have a number of groups that we've been as ongoing groups. And several years ago, I decided that we would do a group particularly for men over 50. And my boss said, no, 45. At 45, you can still pass to go into the Badlands if you go late at night and stand in the corner. At 52, you can't. Where do you socialize in the community? How do you talk about it? By just putting the word aging and gay men, that group is the one group that we have that fills up. There are two groups we have. One, newly diagnosed men. Two, men over 50. Regardless of income, regardless of HIV status, that's the group, because people are saying, nobody knows my story. What's the next step in my life, because I don't have a model for that? It's a group that is very much self-defined, so the group defines the topics. But the topics that I've discussed are all the topics that come through. It's a group that's a 14-week group, and people can do up to two cycles. It's been a very successful group. So I have 52 seconds, and I'm done. Thank you.
That was a very engaging and interesting presentation. I feel like we're very privileged to have you all the way from California. Thank you.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health in Difference 2013 conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.